about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Congratulations, universe. You win.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Can people who hate Star Trek leave?
Fat, sarcastic Star Trek fan. You must be a devil with the ladies.
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
I find that offensive. Just because I'm of Japanese ancestry, you assume I know karate.
I'm not exotic. I'm Asian. There are more of us than there are of you, so statistically, you're the exotic one.
Hey, Lisa May, I just heard that you had an accident, but I'm so glad to hear that you're okay. But let me just tell you that if I rear-end you, I guarantee you won't walk away. Yeah? Huh? Yeah, see? You're not going to be able to walk. Because I'd wreck that.
And now...
Whoa, hot.
Our feature presentation.
I'm so glad that guy explained, because I really was unclear what he meant.
Well, it was too subtle. That's the problem with some comedy, is unless you're really tuned in, you might miss the joke.
Well, I'm glad he did.
I got it now. Thank you.
Very nice.
Hey, Lisa.
Morning,
hey,
everybody. Babe. Brand new Kevin Abeen Show. It's Tuesday morning. Sorry, I didn't mean
Lisa,
to
don't
interrupt your sexy time.
Don't C-block me here, man. Come on. I'm working it. Lisa, you were unusually cutting it close today. What happened to you?
Well, I was here. I was just in the other room chatting with my workmates.
Why does she say it like that, Kevin? What's going on?
Nothing.
Are they not really workmates?
No.
Is that a euphemism for something?
I don't know why she said that.
I don't know.
We're in the other room making fun of people and hanging out. That's all.
That's all.
We realized, okay. Hey,
I was
about
on
that?
Kevin time.
It's about that time.
All right. Well, here's a story I've been dying to get to. I brought it. I actually had it in front of me on Friday at the pageant, and we didn't have time to do it. And then yesterday we got distracted by something. But I think we have a new way to whip people into a needless frenzy. Although... the more stories like this I see, the more I think it may not be a needless frenzy. This may be an actual thing we have to worry about.
Love it.
A Florida woman rushed by helicopter to an Alabama burn center after her face caught fire during a routine surgery.
Did you say her face caught fire?
Are you guys aware of this disturbing new trend of people spontaneously combusting during surgery? Have you guys been hearing about any of this?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Kim Grice, a 29-year-old mother of three, was having cysts removed from her head at an outpatient surgery center in Crestview, Florida. Outpatient usually means you go in, the doctor does it, you leave. It's not usually a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Outpatient could mean van as
well. It could be. A flash fire erupted. A flash fire, ladies and gentlemen. Grice was treated at the North Okaloosa Medical Center after being flown 90 miles to the University of South Alabama in Mobile with burns to her face and neck. The cause of the fire is still under investigation. Surgical fires are usually sparked by heat, often from tools like lasers, and then fueled by alcohol, surgical drapes, and oxygen. So if you think about that sentence for a second, you've already got a spark, and then you just need something to ignite. So, you know, they use alcohol to clean or whatever, surgical drape, something to catch on fire, oxygen, obviously we know how combustible that is. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration launched an initiative in October to curb surgical fires through increasing awareness and promoting risk reduction practices. And now here's the point. This is what got me excited. How many surgical fires a year do you think there are?
Now, surgical fires, meaning there's a fire in the room or the patient lights on fire?
Well, I mean, I think there's all different kinds of damage that can be done. I think probably there's a spark and a flame. A lot of times I would imagine it would go out and the person's face wouldn't catch on fire. But increasing.
Last year?
Because this is what caught my attention. I mean, it's a freak story to have a woman catch fire. But then I thought, well, how often can that happen? And then I saw the number and it frankly boggled my mind.
500?
What do you think, Lisa?
It must be more than. I'll say 1,000.
Well, between 550 and 650 surgical fires a year.
That's crazy.
You think we would hear about that more, wouldn't you?
How is that happening all over the place?
Whoa.
Wow. They just put it out and say, all right, clamp it down, people. No one knows.
I'm in shock. This is not what happens with routine outpatient surgery, says her mom, by the way. She had headaches. The doctor was going to remove some cysts and biopsy them. Something went bad. Now my daughter is in a burn unit with burn specialists. I still don't know what happened. No one will tell me why or how this happened. Okay. So that was Friday's story that I didn't have time to do.
All right.
This morning I wake up. Aberdeen, Washington. Kurt Cobain's hometown, by the way. A couple of days after a similar horrific incident in Florida, a man undergoing routine surgery at a Grays County hospital had a fire erupt on his face while he was under anesthesia, suffering burns to the face and head.
What's happening with these people?
He was undergoing a one-hour procedure to remove a bump from his head when he believes his oxygen mask caught fire. The physical pain is tremendous. My lips, my face on fire. The man says he believes the cauterizing tool used in the surgery caused a spark that in turn ignited the oxygen in his mask. Doctors tell him it could take more than a year for his burns to heal.
Oh, my God.
That seems bad.
I say leave the bumps, leave the cysts. At least you still have a
right.
face.
At least you're not burned.
This is so horrifying.
Nobody go in for surgery ever again, apparently, is what. All right, one more sentence from this story. It's just surreal to see skin melted off your face, to look in the mirror and see chunks of skin hanging from your face. It's not really a pretty sight. So that's what happened there.
That's supposed to be the most painful pain.
Yes.
Is burns.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
That's just supposed to be the worst. Yeah.
So my biggest fear in the world used to be, and we've talked about it on this show, you go in and you can't feel the anesthesia doesn't work. It paralyzes you so you can't move or scream or tell the doctors you're still awake, but you feel every incision. That's my biggest fear in the world.
Right. Or you wake up during, same thing.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Oh, this is all bad.
Now, before you even get to that point, now I got to be worried about something else, which is that my face is going to catch on fire from surgical tools.
Flames! So. Flames! Nobody can hear me. I'm shouting flames!
I don't like it at all, you guys.
Wow, that seems all bad. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Okie dokie.
All right, let's get started.
It's a lot better than that. A lot better than your face getting burned off. All right, take it easy. On the program today, we're going to tell you about the Larry King special over the weekend that Ralph brought up at the end of the show yesterday.
Yes.
Oh, goodness!
Larry is crazy. He's the CNN reporter that did a nightly show, for about 300 years, and he's 99 and crazy. And he had a special over the weekend where he had a dinner, and the people that were there was absurd.
It was a bizarre list.
Conan O'Brien, Seth MacFarlane, the guy, co-creator Jack of Twitter, Tyra Banks. I mean, the list goes on and on. A ton of interesting people. I taped the show. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but something interesting was revealed that Larry wished for himself.
Correct.
That we want to talk about.
Interesting people there, except for Tyra Banks.
Yeah, she does not fit.
Right. Bogus firefighter calls. I'm sure this happens all the time. We're going to need firefighters to call, but... you get calls and you go, oh, I got to go get a cat, or I got to go, little kids trapped in a closet. Who knows the kind of stuff they call firefighters
Somebody
for.
Somebody told me the story the other day where he got his head caught in the banister, like he pushed his head.
It happens a lot.
Sweet.
He's an adult.
What do I do?
Go get it out.
Wow.
Truly amazing.
All right, take it easy. Dr. Bone's going to be on the program today, too.
We've got vomit!
There might be some in that break. There might be. Dr. Bone's talking about a new book about putting things up there. And don't.
Okay.
All right. That's good advice.
I mean, really, don't. If you take something away from today's show, it's don't.
Okay.
If you feel like it, don't. Also on today's program, we have tickets in the pit for the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Awesome.
Spectacular!
Which is, as you know, approaching very quickly, Saturday and Sunday night. So we got those coming up. We'll give you a couple of different ways to win those. Just listen, and we'll tell you how to win. We will take a break and come back.
Hey,
with...
did you mention Jesse James?
And Jesse James.
Yes.
I forgot
what
about
you're
Jesse.
Seeing is the face of a champion.
I forgot about Jesse James. Yeah, we're going to talk to Jesse James today about this American Chopper Live that was on last night. It's on tonight again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up as well. Yes, I did forget that. I apologize. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 551.
I don't think Larry King is nuts, by the way. I think he makes a lot of sense.
He's crazy. Are you kidding?
I think he makes a lot of sense.
Look who's on Larry's side.
Crazy!
Another Larry crazy old man loves another crazy old man. That's all you
true.
Need to know.
Larry and I are blood brothers, man. What can I tell you? All right. We are going to take care of one of the biggest requests of the holiday season coming up for you
stop.
In about 10 minutes. What?
Stop? Is that the request? The biggest
no.
request of the holiday season? People
no.
telling us to
no.
stop?
The Christmas song you'll only hear on the Kevin and Bean Show that the listeners are starting to demand, Ralph. It's time to unwrap it right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
All right. More than fruitcake?
Even bigger than fruitcake.
Wow.
Hard to believe, I know.
And fruitcake is popular.
Congratulations to Rosie O'Donnell. She's getting married again. Poor woman. not Rosie. Michelle Rounds, her latest girlfriend.
Oh, her name's Rounds.
two rounds in a marriage.
Is she fat too?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
She revealed to her studio audience, the story says, that they'll say their I do's around Christmas. Rosie O'Donnell has a studio audience?
Yeah, she's got a new show on the show. Oprah Network, doesn't she?
Oh, the Oprah Network. That explains it. I've had that surgically removed from my television set.
I haven't seen it either.
I can't even accidentally run across that network.
I've heard she's got a new talk show. Who knows?
Huh.
I'm not looking for it, tell you that.
Michael Owen!
Yeah, back in the news.
He finally made it to the operating room yesterday. You may remember once he got taken back into custody, he had some heart problems, and then doctors discovered blood clots in his lungs. So they've operated on his heart, putting in a stent, hoping it will keep it open and stop the blockage that was causing the problem. And then once he's stable, he has to go back into his court-ordered treatment and then probably some jail time. So what's worse than laying in the hospital, feeling crappy after an operation, knowing that when you get better, things then will get worse? That's the best it's going to be, is being taken care of in that hospital.
And not just one thing. He's got like three things in a row lined up that are going to suck.
Yeah. I mean, I'm no fan, but I feel for the guy. Demi Lovato was caught showing her for goods the other day.
Please, you still think she's fat, right, Kevin?
Oh. Here we go.
I don't remember. She's the one?
She was one of the problem. The remember, she went to rehab because she had an eating disorder, and you called her fat when you saw her in that award show?
No.
Once she got up to 90 pounds, you said, what a porker.
I would never say that.
She was performing in Dallas, Texas last month, and she was wearing an outfit with a plunging neckline, and apparently the neckline kept plunging.
Yes.
And we saw the girls.
Ah, really?
Yeah. And there's no photos, by the way. No one can find any photos. In a world where we live, where everything now is caught on digital camera or phones or video, none of that.
How is there no photo?
Communism, that's what I say.
Wait, she was on stage?
Yes.
Come on.
I didn't think there was a moment on any stage, particularly at a concert like this, that somebody isn't rolling tape on.
Story says as of yet, they haven't found any photos.
Well, someone has it on their phone. Let's get it out.
That's what I'm saying. People, get on
the
stage.
She does have great cans.
To me, just pretend it didn't even happen. Just kept performing. She's a trooper. She's a pro. Professional.
Look at her.
Meanwhile, she took some time out of her weekend last Sunday to go back to her rehab, where she went for her eating disorder and self-esteem issues, Kevin, before you called her fat.
I didn't call her fat.
And she told the ladies there that hang in there, it gets easier, life is beautiful, and you are worth it. As well as other cliches that she could manage to give the people in the rehab.
I think the best part of Kevin coming down on Demi Lovato and hoping she dies was that she had just crawled out of her rehab. Remember, she had near death.
I believe she walked out. I think she was okay.
All right, walked out. It was her first public appearance, though, in a year or something. She finally had the nerve to go out and face the cameras, and Kevin was like, she's fat.
Yeah, you guys are making it up.
It was awesome.
Oh, how much did she eat? What, did she see her on stage? That's all we heard the next day.
She looked so good before she went to rehab for bulimia.
Mean man. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie have to just stop it. Just stop it.
Stop what? What are they doing now?
Well, it turns out their globe-trotting lifestyle is having a detrimental effect on their six kids.
Okay.
Turns out, I mean, it's hard enough you can imagine as an adult what it's like when you got through jet lag. You ever had a bad jet lag?
Yeah, it sucks.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's like getting a flu. You just feel out of sorts and you're tired and you're feverish and you just feel like crap. Well, imagine if you're a little kid and you're going through that. They're constantly flying through time zones, and these kids apparently are just getting beat up with the jet lag.
And six of them probably fighting all the time because they're grouchy.
Yeah.
So now Angelina and Brad have invested in a new lighting system for their French estate that resets the body clock.
A new lighting system.
When you have a jet lag, you go into this room, and it's got these special lights, and the duration that you spend in there resets your body clock to help you get over jet lag. They're doing that for the kids.
Hmm. Does that work?
Yeah, it does. Until now, this high-end system was only seen in the first-class sections of certain airlines, which would do it to help you battle jet lag while you're in the air before you get to your new destination. This is the first time it's been implemented in a home. And it will be at the French estate of Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt for their kids.
Okay. Yeah.
If only there was some way you could stop flying your kids around the world through different time zones. But no, unfortunately, there is no way to do that. They have to use the illumination system.
How do those kids stay in school, by the way? Do they just have private tutors that travel with them and they get education on the road?
I would imagine they have to.
Yeah. They have to be homeschooled, right?
Home slash plane school.
They have some Namibian headmaster who takes care of them. Ah, Kiefer Sutherland brings us good news. How about a 24 movie?
Yep.
You in?
Love that. Love that show so much.
Kiefer is finishing the first several episodes of his new TV series, Touch. But 24 looks like we'll begin shooting next April, which means we'll have a new 24 movie in 2013. For those of you who are looking to circle your calendar.
Put that on my schedule.
Yes.
How will they adapt the premise of the show? Clearly, it won't be 24 hours.
It's a 24-hour movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to pack a lunch, and they give you a cot, and it's a very exciting experience.
A banky.
I can imagine it's the same as they did with the TV show, only they will compress it. You know, just, 2 hours, it'll just be...
The movie will just be called Two. And you'll go in there and go, all right, we got 2 hours to stop the bomb. Go.
It's just him sweating over a bunch of wires, clipping.
That's it.
And this is going to make Kevin happy. Bradley Cooper told Graham Norton. He's on BBC America if you want to check out his talk show, which is great, by the way.
Hangover 3.
Hangover 3.
I don't know how they're going
to
do it.
Is in the works. We hope to start shooting in September of next year, according to Bradley Cooper. Todd Phillips is currently working on the script, so.
Fantastic.
Congratulations, Kevin.
Fantastic.
I'll tell you, this time they're going to another city, and boy, did they get drunk and forget what they did, and they have to put it back together, I bet. That's what happens.
I can't believe it happened again, just like it did in Las Vegas and Bangkok.
When do we learn to stop drinking so much and taking strange drugs? You think we would have learned this third time? Oh, what is that? A llama in our apartment? How did that get in here?
I'm confused by these things that happen when we black out.
Now we have to put those pieces back together.
I'm going to make a phone call. It's not going to work. We're not getting married.
I wish somebody had pictures or film of what we did during this blackout period.
I got to say, Hangover.
It writes itself.
Hangover, favorite movie ever. Favorite movie ever. Hangover 2, impossible to top Hangover 1, but really good.
Yeah, it did a good job.
Really good.
But 3, really?
Are the same people in it and behind it?
Yes.
Then I'm in.
But Kevin, come on.
But it's not an artistic choice, though. You know that, right, Kevin? It's strictly a cash grab.
You don't think there's more story to tell there with those characters,
I've seen Hangover 2 10 times, probably. The one in Bangkok.
Just keep forgetting it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, a new Hangover movie's out.
That's awesome. We're in Bangkok? What?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Peter Buck of R.E.M. celebrates his 55th birthday today. Drummer David Lovering of The Pixies turns 50 years old. Ben Watt of Everything But the Girls, 49. Very musical birthday today. Yeah. And Judd Apatow, while we're talking about movies that make us laugh, the 30-year-old virgin, Knocked Up, of course. Very, very funny man, 44 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
By the way, I don't think we mentioned this yet, but we do have your choice of tickets in the pit for either night of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concerts. They are coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the Gibson Amphitheater, and we'll tell you when to call them. We got two different ways for you to win today. It is the holiday season. It is the most wonderful time of the year. You know, we just had the Miss Double December pageant last week.
Mm-hmm.
Video highlights are up. If you were anxiously waiting for that, you can go to krock.com and see the video package.
It's a great video recap, too. It's pretty quick. It moves fast.
Okay.
And this time of year also means holiday music. And we are starting to get a lot of emails, including three or four yesterday, Kevin, who say, hey, it's not the holidays. Why haven't I heard my favorite Christmas song on the Kevin and Bean Show? And you know I'm talking about Wing, Santa on a Helicopter.
Oh, I forgot about that so much. I love it. Give me a little fruitcake while I get Wing ready. Have that? Because Fruitcake is my second favorite song.
Fruitcake is the one that has been getting all the love lately here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Fruitcake.
Last couple of years, the holidays roll around. You know, once it gets near Thanksgiving, we start thinking about the great Fred Schneider from the B-52s and his holiday song / recipe on how to make fruitcake.
What you making? Fruitcake.
Is this from last year?
What you baking? Fruitcake. Candy cherries, red dye number 2. Green cherries, green ones too, it's fruitcake. It's fruitcake.
So listeners heard that and they go, my God, I love that. That's so awesome. But what about Wing? What about our little songstress Wing?
Wing is a songstress, as Bean calls her, from New Zealand. And she's terrible.
I mean, she may not be originally from New Zealand.
Correct. Good point. She's terrible. And
How dare you? We
were introduced to her on South Park, and I did a little research, and I found out that she actually existed. I bought every album she's put out, maybe 8 or 9, 10 albums. And she started calling us for a while. She would call us on the Afro line and leave us messages.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ray. I'm so excited that I was invited back to do some more things for you. And thank you for Alice and Kevin and Beans give me such a chance.
Okay, I'm not exactly sure what she said, but she seemed grateful. And then she would sing us a song.
Uh-huh.
And she does all songs that we would never listen to. But she's so bad that we do, because it's fantastic. Like, she'll do this song on the Afro Line.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
If you can hear from the music in the background, she's off from the beginning.
Like, and
the
music, kind of out of breath.
The music is going way faster than she is.
A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
All right. So she did Santa Claus on a Helicopter. That's the name of the classic. That's the name of the one that the people are requesting.
And this is a wing. I mean, she didn't write it. I'm sure someone did. But it's an original. This isn't a classic that she's revisited like
right.
She does.
And we talked to her about this. And she was very concerned about, in this day and age, how are kids going to get their heads around the fact that Santa can make it to every house, you know, in one night?
Yeah.
That's not possible. So she wanted to explain that, and she did it by saying Santa Claus is now on a helicopter, which, of course, as we know, is the fastest mode of transportation that we have. Come on. She's about to rock.
His wing.
She's about to rock this.
It's a beautiful song about Santa Claus on a helicopter.
Yep.
Not a traditional sleigh cart. Santa Claus on a helicopter.
There it is. There it is.
Now, first of all, if she had anybody in her life that knew music, they would go, stop singing high. That really hurts. Take it down a little.
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
So sweet.
Now here's where she explains.
Santa Claus, he visits us today.
I don't know what that was.
What?
I didn't understand a word of that.
I don't know. Every time we play this song for Wing, I think, isn't there a producer? Isn't there somebody who says, hey, Wing, could you recut that part so people understand what the F you're talking about? It just seems like it's first take productions.
We found out behind the scenes, it's a dude kind of like we do with some of our people, is you go, that's perfect.
Right.
Yeah,
I guess. Do it just like, because there's really no way to take this from maybe the worst song ever to at least, you can't get to decent even.
And you don't want to get to decent, because that's nowhere.
You love this.
December 24.
December 24. Now she's starting to tell the story.
Wow, it's coming right now in a helicopter. Not a traditional sleigh cart.
Not a traditional sleigh cart.
Cart.
Which
cart.
Is what they're known as.
Yeah.
He lives in the family of a nursery. All the babies crying for moms. He fists them both.
Whoa.
Was that fisting?
Whoa.
What happened there? Wait, what happened with Santa?
She has an accent. He feeds them.
That's not what it said.
He feeds the kids.
I defer.
He feeds the kids is what happens, Bean. Because we know that she is a pure-hearted woman.
Yes.
We can't get her to go along with half of the nonsense we try to get her to go along with.
All the babies crying for moms. He feeds them both if they are hungry. Then he returns to the helicopter and makes a big landing.
What I love is that to her, a helicopter solves all the issues.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be like a sleigh would be faster. A helicopter is actually
magical.
Actually slow. She's picked a slower mode of transportation than she had before.
Why not put him on a bicycle, right? Hey, Beer Mug, you had never heard Wing stand on a helicopter until we asked you to pull it for today's show. What were you expecting versus what do you think now that you've heard it?
I wasn't expecting this amount of gold, to be honest. I turned it up in my headphones and I was rocking out at 5 this morning.
Yeah, that's the best.
In the city. Dance. City dance.
What?
Dance. Helicopter dance.
Bands?
Dance?
Dance? Helicopter dance?
Sort of like...
Bands?
I don't know.
Fans?
Dance makes more sense, but why would you be trying to get the helicopter to dance?
You don't want the helicopter to dance. That's the one that you don't want.
Bands!
Do you think she's... Bands? Do you think she's trying to rap in this part, this whole section?
I think this is where she's breaking it down, yeah. Okay.
Santa Claus bands!
Santa Claus mans.
I don't
dance.
Know.
Gotta be. Dance. she go.
Carlos Santa. He's playing a flute.
Now, why is Santa playing a flute? Do you guys know that Santa plays a flute? Have you heard that anywhere?
Dancing on the helicopter.
He's dancing. The helicopter's dancing. He's playing a flute.
As long as he stopped fisting, I'm fine with whatever Santa wants to do next.
Feeding.
Or whatever.
Follow Santa. It's the secret route to the church to pass the law.
Don't know.
Well,
I have no
idea. The children follow Santa down the road.
All the children don't follow Santa down the road. It's the middle
of the
night. Does she know nothing about this story? I mean, really?
It's a Pied Piper
All
now?
The kids come out and follow him? That's no, they're in bed. You put out a cookie, she doesn't know anything.
Sons and daughters, but if you are sick, you can walk. Santa take you to a helicopter. Santa Claus.
So if you're sick, he'll take you in the helicopter.
Oh, my God.
Any more? Can we handle it anymore?
No, I think that's enough for right now. But ladies and gentlemen, the holidays are here. Come on. The book is called Stuck Up, 100 Objects Inserted and Ingested in Places They Shouldn't Be. There's a last-minute stocking stuffer for this sure. hard-to-buy-for person on your list. We will discuss things up the rectum with our friend Dr. Mo, who's an actual real-life doctor, coming up in minutes. First, though, Larry King, back on my TV over the weekend. What's
tonight? Snoop Dogg gets real and keeps it crack-a-lackin'.
Oh, I miss Larry King.
Nope, there wasn't any Snoop Dogg this time. Larry retired from his nightly show. He was replaced by Piers Morgan a few months ago, his nightly talk show that he had done on CNN for over 25 years. And now he's just doing a series of specials. He did a sit-down with the cast of Harry Potter earlier this year, for instance. That was one of his specials. And he aired his new one this past Sunday night, and it repeats again this weekend, called A Larry King Special, Dinner with the Kings. And this is Larry and his wife in their actual home in L.A. with guests including Conan O'Brien, Shaquille O'Neal, Seth MacFarlane from The Family Guy, Russell Brand, Quincy Jones, Tyra Banks, just a crazy collection of people, and they just filmed the dinner, edited it down, put it on TV.
I love it so much. I didn't care about Larry at all during his radio career for 50 years. I didn't care to him at all about his TV career for 50 years, but then he got crazy, and he started asking really ridiculous questions, and he wouldn't have any clue what was going on, and once he got crazy, I'm in. I love crazy.
Well, he also had something unusual to drop on his guests and on the world. And we wanted to talk to Larry about that, so we asked producer Dave if he could line him up. And I believe he's got him on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. King.
Kevin and Bean, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, you're on the air with us, too, Larry. Where are you right now?
Larry King, you're on the air. Hello, Larry. How are you? I'm good, no. Larry. How are you? Couldn't have felt better. Glad to be retired and join my time up. Well, you've earned it, sir. You're quite the professional.
Larry, where are you? It sounds like you're at an airport.
No, I'm at the house. We're preparing our next dinner with the Kings.
Oh, you're having multiple dinners with the Kings.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The whole team is here. Kopitar, Brown, they're all here. Right,
really? The Kings?
Very impressive.
Oh, you're having dinner with the LA Kings.
Fantastic.
I think my staff misunderstood what I said.
So the last one was Conan O'Brien, if we read correctly, and Tyra Banks and Shaq and Seth MacFarlane and Quincy Jones, right?
Yes.
And Russell Brand.
Russell Brand, Jack Dorsey. It was an amazing, amazing event. Everyone loved it.
And Russell Brand went upstairs into your bedroom and stole some of your wife's underwear? Is that what I understand?
Yes, and then he banged her.
Wow.
I don't care.
Oh, of course you don't. You can't
old.
Do that.
I'm too old to care.
Right.
All right. The thing that you said that surprised your guest, in particular Conan, who would not stop talking about it, is you said, Larry, that when you die, and let's face it, that's within the next 3 months, right?
How dare you, sir.
That you would like to be frozen on the hope that they'll find whatever you died of and find a cure for that and are able to bring you back.
That's right. That's right. I want to be brought back. I got more living to do, baby.
Haven't you lived about 149 years?
Yeah, but I want more. So they're going to take my head and stick it in the freezer.
Just your head?
That's right.
Do you want just your head to come back?
Wouldn't it be ironic if I died by decapitation?
Well, it would prepare everything and make it much simpler.
I guess it would, yeah.
What do you think the chances are that they're actually going to be able to bring a human back to life after a number of years have passed?
I think that kind of technology is right around the corner.
You do, all right.
Yeah. As soon as they learn how to make a cell phone work in my neighborhood. For some reason, I can't get a signal here.
Has this been a long time plan of yours, or did you just come up with it?
No, I've been thinking about it for a long time.
All right.
My good buddy Walt Disney once told me.
Sure.
Freeze yourself, Larry. And I said, all right. Then Ted Williams told me, freeze yourself, Larry.
Right. Well, and look how that's turned out for them.
So I'm going to freeze myself, and we're going to play poker. When we're all just frozen heads.
Well, that could be a new Dinner with the Kings special down the road.
Deal. I have no idea. Good deal. We'll have to work that out, I guess.
Somebody push my chips up.
I'm all in, and then I just roll my head into the center of the table.
Well, good luck with that, Larry.
Good luck to you.
We've got your choice of tickets to be in the pit with us this Saturday or Sunday night at the 22nd Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas coming up. Also, Jesse James on the show today talking about the American Chopper live build that's going to be on Discovery Channel tonight once again. And we're going to need some firefighters to call in the 7 o'clock hour as well. We'll explain why coming up. All right, Kevin, I guess I should tell you, I got you this book for Christmas, this Stuck Up, 100 Objects Inserted and Ingested in Places They Shouldn't Be. It's all about you. I mean, seriously.
But I've not done this.
No, I'm not saying you've done it. I'm just saying you enjoy it.
I'm an exit only dude.
I am too. I'm okay. Right there with you, buddy. But I think you would, I think as with me, you enjoy stories like this. And it's a collection of 100 x-rays showing foreign objects ingested or inserted into human bodies, either accidentally or on purpose.
By the way, I don't know that I buy any accidentally.
I don't know how that would happen.
I mean, I fell. No, that wasn't accidentally. Yeah. That was, you're embarrassed because you did it on purpose, so you said it was accidental.
I used to believe that, too, until I fell on the vacuum cleaner.
Sure.
I mean, it just it happened. I just slipped, and the next thing I knew, there it was. But anyway, we thought, this happens all the time. I mean, they happen to have made a book about it, but we've been hearing these stories for years, thanks to our friend Dr. Mo, who joins us on the phone right now. He is the chief of surgery at the Little Company of Mary in San Pedro. Dr. Mo, how are you, my friend?
Good morning, guys.
Are we going to see you this weekend, by the way? You coming out to Acoustic Christmas?
That'd be awesome. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Let's do it.
Well, I wasn't inviting you, Dr. Mo. I was just asking if you were already coming. I was going to say hi.
He hasn't even heard of it.
I will definitely say hi.
All right. Okay. What about this topic that we are discussing today? Things that get accidentally or on purpose inserted into people's bodies. Is this a real thing, right?
Oh, my God, it's a real thing. In fact, this is the first thing you guys talked to me about 10 years ago.
Yep. That's the first time that you that we had you on the air, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, this happens all the time, and I'm kind of pissed that
somebody else wrote a book.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you totally should. With your experience, you totally should have.
I know. This is an ER doctor and a psychiatrist who wrote this book, but yeah, it's pretty hilarious.
Stuck Up, 100 Objects Inserted and Ingested in Places They Shouldn't Be. I wonder where those places are.
Yeah. Although, the people swallow some pretty weird things, too.
Do they?
The x-rays don't look nearly as funny as those that
Of course.
Yeah.
How do I ask questions that don't get us in any trouble here, Dr. Mo? Mostly guys or mostly girls that come into the ER with this problem?
About 80% guys.
Yeah, not a surprise.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what kinds of items have you seen?
Oh, boy, that's such an open-ended question. Well, one of the more alarming ones ever was when I was called to the emergency room, and typically I get called for, quote, foreign body, unquote, in the rectum. So that's sort of not very subtle code to come on down and see what we got.
Is there a general announcement code where they go code 23 no. Stat, and then everybody in the hospital leaves their patients and runs down to the emergency room?
How sad it is that it's not that exciting anymore.
Come on.
But like this guy, I come down there and I try to be polite, try to be professional. I say, all right, let me take a look. And he gets into the lithotomy or the baby delivering position, and I take a peek down there. And I see the little metal screw end of a light bulb sticking out.
Really? Oh. A light bulb?
So, unfortunately, since we do this a lot, I have little tricks, and I work my magic and hit that sucker out. And the guy looks up and goes, wow, you got them both?
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I had to take an x-ray, and sure enough, there's another light bulb stuck way further up there, and I had to take him to surgery and take the sucker out.
Dr. Mo, there are things that are created, inventions, things you can buy specifically made to use for things like, for reasons like this that are safe. But people just, they still just look around for household items that they think will accomplish the same thing on the cheap, right?
Well, there are a large number of things that have handles and ropes and retrieval devices and stuff. So, yeah, I don't understand the need to put a can of Coca-Cola up there or anything. Yeah.
Now, I know that you probably don't have the answer to this, and you're going to have to guess. Okay. What percentage of people claim it was an accident versus what percent do you believe were an accident?
The percent of people that claim it's an accident probably hovers around 33%.
That's it?
Well, yeah, because people are getting smarter. They just sort of look at me, and I'm like,
all right.
Okay, and the other thing is just be non-judgmental. Come on. I mean,
no, if I'm in there, I'm asking every time. Did you do this on purpose?
Although I was a bit kind of peeved once when this guy comes in with probably an 11 or 12-inch segment of rubber hose stuck up there, and there was this neatly cut hole in his jeans. And he was, you know, saying that he just sat on it.
But, so the hole was cut, like, accurately, a perfect circle?
It was yeah, exactly right. It was perfectly cut, yeah. And so I looked at the guy and I said, okay, I don't know if you think I'm this stupid or you're actually that stupid, but you forgot to cut a hole in your underwear.
Oh,
looked at me and just like, oop, you got me, shrugged his shoulders.
That isn't good for you.
No, it isn't.
Dr. Rowe, what about cell phones? Why would somebody sit on a cell phone? Is it because they got the built-in vibration or what?
You know, it's...
Oh, text me.
Well, I always had this, you know, in my somewhat not normal imagination, I had somebody stick it up there and they couldn't get it out for whatever reason, and then they're sitting in the emergency room and you hear this... They kind of look around and look for me. Never mind, you know, kind of fiddling around.
I would call them 100 times if I knew they were in the...
Oh, my God. Yeah,
in the OR.
You know, it's kind of hard. Sometimes, hey, I don't know what people think of when they're that alone or wondering what, you know, hey, I'm really bored. Let's try this can of Edge shaving cream or something.
All right. Man, that's huge.
Yeah, and the guy that put up the shaving cream can took the can out. He was smart enough to leave the end out, but put it in backwards so the cap got stuck way up there.
All right.
Oh, wow. Wait, let me ask this question. What percentage of them are gay?
Not as much as you think.
Okay. What percentage of them are drunk?
A larger percentage than you
think. No, because I would think 100%.
No, but there was this...
Drunk or on drugs?
No, there was this great case where I got called to remove a foreign body, and I go down to the emergency room, and behind the curtain, I can hear a couple arguing. And they're arguing quite vociferously. And as I walk up, I see that there's a woman is sitting in the chair because I can see her feet sticking below the curtain. So she's clearly in the chair. So the man must be in the gurney.
Right.
And they're yelling and yelling. And as I get closer, I hear the man saying, oh, fine, you said keep an open mind. You said it was
No.
And then you let go of it.
No.
That's fantastic.
But it was pretty cool because I walked in and I talked to him and I sort of talked him down and said, you know, this is really relatively normal compared to like light bulbs and garden hoses and stuff. And they were all like smiling, going, oh, good.
All right, good. I'm happy.
I mean, I guess in the line of work that you're in, Dr. Mo, especially with some of the tragic emergency calls you have to, you know, you go to the emergency room and it's a gunshot victim or something like that. I mean, in a way, you look at this and it not only does it faze you, it's a little bit of a relief that that's what you're being asked to do, right?
It is kind of like, okay, nobody's going to die here, and I have something else to talk to you guys about.
Exactly. Is it against your code of ethics to... I don't know, shoot us a call one morning. Say someone just came into the emergency room and maybe hand them a cell phone so we can talk to them.
A little bit, yeah.
It's against... Because that would be so... I mean, remember we had that call where the guy said, hey, my friend's in the hospital and he has a carrot stuck up there.
Yep,
I do. And he gave us the guy's cell phone number. We called him. We were talking to him. He's like, I feel like an idiot.
That was awesome.
Okay, I can't do that, but if any Kevin and Bean listener out there puts something up there and ends up going to the right hospital... They can call, and we can take it out on the air.
All right.
Okay. All right. The book that started this whole conversation is available everywhere. It's called Stuck Up, 100 Objects Inserted and Ingested in Places They Shouldn't Be, and that is available everywhere. It might be a great Christmas gift.
You guys remember the original Jackass, right?
Oh, the car.
Yeah, you remember the little toy car?
That's it's a car toy.
Well, how did a car toy get there?
Maybe you stuck it up your ass.
I didn't stick anything up my
ass. Have you ever seen anything like that?
No, I never seen that in there. It's a toy car all over, but no, never in somebody's rectum.
Rubber balloon.
Did you say a rubber balloon?
Dr. Mo is the chief of surgery at the little company Barry San Pedro. Doc, we'll see you this weekend, man. Thanks for coming on, as always.
Can't wait.
Send her clothes on the helicopter.
That song seriously hurts. It really, like, literally hurts.
I love the bass line.
I do, too.
Rocks.
We have an update on a lot of stories coming out this week about what will and will not be in the new Star Trek movie, the Star Trek sequel by J.J. Abrams. We'll talk about coming up after the top of the hour with Star Trek
Chewbacca,
number one.
No Chewbacca in this one.
Really?
Yeah.
They're really mixing it up.
Yeah, yeah.
How about that? Anyway, that's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking to some firefighters about crazy calls you come out on, and Jesse James later in the show as well. First, though, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's happening?
Speaking of Star Wars and Star Trek, Glee is going to have it's going to have Chewbacca.
Oh, no.
On their Christmas special.
Oh, no.
As they do a salute to the Star Wars Christmas special, which if you've never seen, it's only available in bootleg and YouTube, but hunt it down and do yourself a favor and watch the Star Trek Christmas special.
It is way worse than you could ever imagine.
Way worse.
Inconceivably. It's like the worst Christmas special of the 70s when they used to do all these horrible, cheesy-ass Christmas specials with bad guests and stuff. And then you take the entire original cast from the Star Wars movies and you plop them in the middle of it and you give it some lame-ass sci-fi plot. It's like an acid trip.
Yeah.
All these different elements that don't belong together converge.
But it's bad enough that it's super entertaining.
Oh, so, yeah. Yeah. You got to watch Harrison Ford singing Welcome to Life Day or whatever the song is he sings on that special. And Chewbacca's got a family he's got to get home to and time to bring them presents. And Harvey Korman's a transvestite in it. And B. Arthur shows up. And Art Carney. It's the oddest
thing ever. Do you have a copy of it, Ralph?
Oh, hell to the yeah.
Oh, we have to bring in some highlights, though. We got to hear some of that, I think.
It's pretty remarkable.
I have the album. I have the Star Wars Holiday Christmas album with the smash hit single, What Do You Get a Wookiee for Christmas When He Already Has a Comb? That's good, too.
That is good.
Yep. Yeah. And it's not surprising you have it.
Let's take a look. Speaking of albums and CDs and stuff like that, new CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD in stores today. Because it is Tuesday, it's new release day. El Camino by the Black Keys.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's available today. Lioness, Hidden Treasures by Amy Winehouse. Apparently they're already dipping into the vault to give you new Amy Winehouse music after her passing. We were just talking about Glee. Glee the Music, Volume 7 in stores today. You want Glee music?
You've heard what they're doing on Glee tonight. I know you're not watching it anymore, right?
No, I'm off the Glee.
You know what song they're doing tonight, though? Tonight's the big Red Solo Cup.
Shut up.
No way.
That you're making that up.
I'm not making
that up. You're making it up.
That is for reals. Yep.
Boy, I got off just in time. That's what she said.
Are you kidding? I need to watch it now.
No.
Are you kidding?
I forbid you.
Are you kidding?
And apparently, I didn't see it, but apparently Fox had a country music special last night where Toby Keith closed the show at the end of the night with Red Solo Cup with the entire audience singing along.
Red Solo Cup.
Oh, stop it.
Fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
Yeah, he's singing to the actual Red Solo Cup.
He
has a drink in.
Giving tribute to a plastic cup.
Yep. Ugh. That song exists, is doing well, is a hit.
I'm shocked he doesn't mention he uses it to spit his chew out.
That's true.
Given his social status and the proclivity of gentlemen of his ilk to use Red Solo Cups for their chew spit.
Very special Glee tonight.
Glee the Music, number 7, as I mentioned. The Path of Totality by Korn. Hats Off to the Bull by Chevelle. The Best of Alive 2011 by The Cure. Revolver, the deluxe edition by T-Pain. Another guy stealing my band's name, Revolver. Another royalties check I won't get. Thank you. On DVD, The Help. Finally, this is out on DVD. I did not get a chance to see this in the movies, and I'm looking forward to it.
I didn't either, but I just recently saw it, and it's great. Really great.
Emma Stone and Bryce Dallas Howard. Cowboys and Aliens, Blu-ray, DVD, and digital copy Blu-ray package you can pick up today. The Hangover Part 2. We were just talking about that with, what's his name over there, the blonde one? Mr. Popper's Penguins. Oh, yes. Finally, I get to see Jim Carrey open that box up, and all those cute penguins are in there.
And one of them bites him, did you
and
see?
And he's got to live in his house with them.
That is crazy.
They're wild penguins.
Red Solo Cup.
I don't see the connection. It's stinky and slappy and farty and squeaky and punchy. All the funny penguins are
funny, funny.
And The Debt with Sam Worthington and Helen Mirren. Helen Mirren plays a Nazi hunter.
I like that one.
Bring it! That's all I'm saying.
She takes him down.
TV shows on DVD. Vietnam in HD is available in Blu-ray if you want to pick that up. Do you see any of that series they ran on history? Wow. Fascinating and amazing footage of that horrible time in our country's history. Lady Lion! She's getting her act together and she's taking it on the road. Maybe as far as Britain.
What?
Producers for the British version of Celebrity Big Brother are apparently in conversations with Lindsay to live in their house.
Do it.
I agree.
There's only one minor problem. She's still in a bit of problems with the law.
Ooh.
So she may not be able to travel over there for an extended period of time and live in the British Big Brother house, but producers are trying to make it happen.
Well, let's take advantage of that and put people in her house then.
That's what I'm saying. Let's bring everybody over here. She's got a nice little condo there by the beach in Venice. Let's throw them in.
Britney's house.
Today's celebrity birthday is Judd
or
Apatow.
Lindsay's house, whichever one it is.
Britney's house is fine. Britney's not going to be happy about all these people coming to her house. But Judd Apatow, 44 years old today. Ben Watt of Everything But the Girls, 49. David Lovering of the Pixies turns 50 years old. Peter Buck, guitarist for R.E.M., is 55. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, for the Smashing Pumpkins fan on your list, they have just released two of their early albums, Gish and Siamese Dream. They've re-released it with tons of live songs, demos, alternate tracks, songs that never made the album. So if you're a big Smashing Pumpkins fan, there's a lot of new stuff from the 90s out there for you. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to be looking for you if you are a firefighter or EMT, paramedic, and you get called to crazy things. We're going to tell you about a survey that was done in Britain recently, a release actually from a firefighting company there, of all the calls they had, hundreds of them throughout the year that were not fire related.
Yeah.
People getting their heads, caught in banisters on a stairwell, that sort of thing. Those are the kinds of things we're going to be looking for that you get called to do as part of your job. And you're thinking, this isn't what I went to the fire academy for.
Yeah, we do 911 as a joke for the same reason for 911 calls, but this is fire department and you get called out. You have to do something really stupid and the people are dumb. We want you to talk to us about that. Ralph did a story yesterday, I believe, in the showbiz about Star Trek II, the new J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie, and how Benicio del Toro might be the star of it, and yes, he might be a villain, and everybody thought, well, is he going to be Khan? And apparently now Benicio del Toro has dropped out altogether.
Oh, you're kidding.
But the bad guy might be Khan? I don't know. It's very confusing how it all works, but apparently he's out, and we don't... Hello?
Roland?
Kevin and Bean.
What, how did you...
Why
are you with us?
Because I've hacked into your communication systems, Captain. Prepare to be blown from the sky.
Roland, we've asked you not to do that. You know, you can just call and set up an interview and we talk to you.
I doubt it.
Okay, that's true. That's true.
We just started talking about Star Trek 30 seconds ago, and you hacked into the phones as if you were just waiting for us.
Because, Captain, I have monitored your communications to Starfleet, and the minute I heard you try to give away our secret plans, I intercepted them.
Okay. You sound like a giant dork, Roland.
From my bird of prey, prepare to be blasted from the stars.
Roland, you don't have...
Silly humans.
You don't have... Is that Klingon?
Yeah.
You speak Klingon.
Of course, I speak it fluently.
I'll bet you do.
Do you also speak Romulan?
I just said your butt smells like Limburger cheese.
Oh, okay.
And Klingon.
So you know all the important words.
That's right.
Yeah. Roland, let's just talk as adults, as grown-ups here. Don't be the geeky Star Trek guy. What? You pay... What's happening?
I set my phaser for shut up.
Okay.
I wish that helped.
You are on all of the internet blogs, I'm sure, with the discussions about the Star Trek II movie. What do you think is really going on here? What's the real story? Who's in, who's out, who's the villain going to be for the next film?
Well, J.J. Abrams has said that the villain is going to be someone from already established Star Trek lore.
Ah, okay.
They will be pulling from the Star Trek canon, so we will be able to recognize the villain.
Now, the only one I could think of was Khan. That's the only... That's the only one I can think of.
That's the only Star Trek villain you know?
Yeah, sorry.
How about Klingons? Does that ring a bell?
Right, Klingons,
the ones we were just talking about 30 seconds ago?
Yeah, but that's a big general category. I didn't know. Is there one? Is there a lead Klingon guy that would be the bad guy?
Well, Krug, of course.
Krug, sure.
Commander Krug, Christopher Lloyd in Star Trek III, Search for Spock.
Okay.
But there was also General Chang,
right,
by Christopher Plummer. There's been many, many popular Klingons.
Okay.
But I think they're going to go with a more risky choice.
Okay,
I think they'll go with the Gorn.
What's the Gorn?
The Gorn,
the cold-blooded lizard man.
What?
Who Kirk had to fight in the original series episode Arena.
Huh. Okay. Does that sound like it would make a good movie? Ow. Ow. Ow.
Yeah.
Does that sound like it would make a good movie to you, Roland?
No. But I'd love to see the Gorn because he was the worst special effects on the series. A guy in a bad lizard costume. Freaking hilarious.
All right.
Now, Roland, this movie doesn't open until Memorial Day, essentially, May 2000. 13.
Yeah.
Yet you're still monitoring every word that is said about the Star Trek II film, right?
Of course I am. I have to keep hailing frequencies open at all times.
They haven't even started filming for another couple of months.
Maybe the villain will be the Mugatu.
What is the Mugatu?
Mugatu is like a big white gorilla with a horn on his head.
Okay.
He's hilarious, too. I want a funny villain. I don't want a scary one. I don't like scary things.
Yeah. I can see that. What's that? What are you...
I just wanted to shoot you.
Don't shoot the laser. Don't do that.
It's a phaser.
Phaser?
God damn you. Not a laser.
All right, whatever.
Freaking phaser.
We don't care that
Learn
much.
Learn it. Learn it. What? Love it. Love it.
I don't have to.
Oh, this is why you're going to prepare to be blasted from the stars.
Okay.
Oh, no. Okay. Fire.
Okay, we'll let you go back to your playset. We got to go.
We're still here. That doesn't do anything.
Live long and prosper.
We were talking a couple days ago about this survey. I was really surprised. I know you're a firefighter, and you get into that because you want to fight fires. But all the other calls that you have to go out on, and is it true? Am I wrong about this? A lot of firefighters are also paramedics. They do both?
Yeah.
EMTs. Okay. Yeah, so you get called out on a lot of stuff that really has got to be either bizarre or boring, I would imagine. Most calls are not exciting, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I would think most calls are not exciting. Some are super exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are these.
This is a London Fire Brigade that has released their annual list, I guess, of things other than fires and, you know, heart attacks and things like that, the important things that they waste their time on every year. And I was really surprised by this. Three different guys, for instance, called this fire department over the course of the past 12 months to have rings removed from their penises. That's an unfortunate accident, right?
Three different guys.
There were 417 incidents attended by...
Let me just back up. I'm sorry to interrupt. Doesn't the firefighter in that instant go in and go, nope, you're on your own? Are they allowed to do that?
No, I think they still have to help the person.
No!
I still think it's a medical issue if you've got a ring stuck on your penis.
Sorry, we're going to take you to the emergency room.
Get you potted off on somebody else.
Yep.
Ring on the penis is one of 417 incidents attended by London firefighters involving people stuck in objects, machinery, and furniture. This does not include people who are stuck in automobiles after traffic accidents. So this is, hey, I've fallen into my couch or my Murphy bed and I can't get out. Come save me.
We're going to take your calls if you're a firefighter. 1-800-520-1067 with some of these kinds of things. A kid was wedged in an ironing board.
Okay, there you go. That's the kind of thing we're talking about.
How does that happen? You know how they fold? I guess it folds and it kind of gets stuck.
And it locks. It kind of locks unless someone can unlock it.
But then, I mean, don't you try everything before you call 911? Yes. I mean, don't you just go, I can't do this. It's too embarrassing.
That is humiliating.
A man became stuck in a child's toy car. That was one call. A person got fingers caught in a DVD player. Now, that's hard to imagine that you would stick your hand in a DVD player and not be able to get them out.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I've tried to get a DVD out that's stuck, and sometimes your fingers get stuck for a second. But again, I mean, really, you get to the point where you call, you know, and the fire department has to come out, and usually the EMTs are first, and there's lights everywhere, and they all come in, and all your neighbors go, hey, what happened?
Yeah.
I got my fingers stuck in a DVD player.
Several children were attended to with toilet seats stuck on their heads.
Love it. Now, see, I mean, at least they're kids. At least they have the reason I'm a kid, I'm dumb.
Right. But how does that happen? How do you get your head stuck in a toilet seat? First of all,
I don't know if it's connected to the toilet.
I mean, I would. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out is why would you be bobbing for something in your toilet?
No, maybe that's you have an extra one in the garage or something and you're goofing around.
It must be really small. You to get stuck
but
in
look
it,
at my
right?
head. I could have easily gotten my head stuck. Yeah. I wouldn't even have gotten stuck because it wouldn't have even gotten in.
All right. Here's one for you, Lisa. You'll love. Same right. survey, London firefighters. 36 people over the past 12 months had to be freed from handcuffs.
Nice.
Oh, that's all sex, right?
I think we all know what's going on right there. The removal of rings from fingers, not penises, but from fingers, accounted for 160 incidents. Now, I don't think there's anybody who hasn't had their fingers swell up at one time or another and had a ring stuck that they couldn't get off. Or they tried something on and for whatever reason they were able to get it on, couldn't get it off.
Right.
And then after a while, you start to panic and you're afraid you're going to cut off circulation to your finger or something like that. 160 different times. 999 is called, and the paramedics go out, and they have to cut a ring off.
Is that England's 911?
That's their 911, right?
That happens, but I just figured for firefighters it wasn't as bad as it was for the 911 operators or whatever. They just wouldn't get that many, but that many times, I mean, it sounds like they're every third call is bogus. And they have to leave and go and rush and get in the fire engine and the whole thing.
Right, act like they're going to a three-alarm fire.
We're going to get right to your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you have experience in this topic. 160 rings, 74 people had other objects removed that were somehow stuck to or on them. 133 people had been trapped in or under machinery or other objects.
Ooh. Machinery.
No, that doesn't sound bogus.
I wonder what. I wonder how that works. I mean, is this you're like working maybe, under your car? Right?
Maybe.
Falls
yeah.
or
That's
something
what
like
I was
that?
Thinking.
14 people impaled. Well, we found out from doing this show that everybody, every other person's getting impaled these days.
We did that topic, and literally we could have done it all day, and we were shocked. We thought we'd get like two calls.
Spokesperson for the fire department says, you wouldn't believe some of the incidents we are called to deal with. People manage to get themselves trapped in some weird and wonderful places, but there's a serious side. These incidents are time-consuming, costly, and take up the precious time of our crews who are then unavailable to attend other potentially life-threatening emergencies. So stop it, in other words, is what he's saying. All right, let's try...
Which one do you want to go to first? They're both fantastic.
Let's go to TI on line six to get us going here. 1-800-520-1067. Look, at especially for firefighters and paramedics, if you've been called on this sort of wacky call that we're talking about from this story from Britain. TI, thanks for calling, man.
I think it's TJ, right?
TJ. Put on those big round glasses of yours, Bean.
Yeah. Sorry. TJ, go ahead.
Hey, party people. How's it going? Good. Haley's in there.
Hi.
You're an EMT.
Hey, I am. I'm a paramedic,
okay.
And I never thought I would get this call, but it turns out I ended up having to go to the famous Prince Albert caught in a tongue ring.
Prince Albert caught in a tongue ring.
Oh,
yep.
Man, is that top of the mountain and then bottom of hell?
Yeah, it's the best call in the worst way.
Oh.
Okay,
yeah.
So without getting into too much detail, the Prince Albert is a genital piercing.
It is. A man's genital piercing.
Right. Gets caught. And then
the other person, in this case, male or female?
It was female.
Female. Okay. So she gets her tongue caught in the piercing and...
A tongue ring.
Oh, my God.
No, it's the tongue stud, and the guy has a ring.
Right.
And the ring got caught in the stud. They couldn't get it out. And
that's fantastic.
They panicked.
I'd go to the store like that. I'd walk around everywhere. Let's go out.
All right, now be honest, TJ. Okay. So you show up, and of course you're a professional, and you have medical training, and you know what you're there to do, and you're very professional. But how do you not start asking questions? How do you not bust up? How do you retain your composure in a situation like that?
I'll be honest, I had to take a quick, my partner was in there with them, and I had to take a quick stop outside with a couple of the cops and just lost it. It was the funniest dang thing I've ever been to.
But then do you walk in and go, how long have you been at this? You
know,
I would ask him all kinds of questions. And would you mind if I take a cell phone picture?
And what can you do that they haven't already tried to get them removed?
You know what? There's not much, but I mean, I guess they need that third person to kind of go in and inspect it.
Yeah, you can numb things too, I guess.
We can't, but I mean, we can try and cut things off with. You know,
oh my God! Was she hot?
That was my first question.
No.
I didn't ask it, but that was the first thing I thought.
I shouldn't have asked. It was better the way I was imagining before. Okay. TJ, that's an amazing story. I don't care how long you do this job. That's one you'll never forget. You'll always have that to tell at parties, dude.
Thanks
for the call. All right. 1-800-520-1067. You're an EMT or a paramedic, work out of the fire station. You got a bogus call that none of us can imagine handling any of these. Call us now. We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. I think the children especially will enjoy this segment. Perhaps we need, I don't know, do we need warnings or anything on this one? Or?
You must be 18 or older to listen in on this line. If you are not, hang up now.
Okay.
And a warning here. We're dealing with a sensitive subject, which is not suitable for young children.
This program contains adult content and is not meant for children.
Okay, that about covers it.
All right.
Talking about unusual calls for firefighters and paramedics, Guillermo writes in, when I was an EMT, I got called to someone's house for a hangnail at 2 a.m.
Oh, okay. Are you kidding me?
That has to make you mad when that happens.
Yeah.
Christopher writes in, being in law enforcement is amazing. I can't tell you how many, hey, how can I get my kid to go to school calls we have to take.
What?
So that's on the tame end of the absurdity of your job. Now we're going to move into 1-800-520-1067. We're going to move into Steve's world on line one. And Steve is going to show you what the other side of that life is like.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. You're a paramedic. You got called to a call. What was it?
A girl got kind of burned trying to have sex on the stove.
Okay.
Got burned trying to have sex on the stove. It was on and she didn't know it or what?
It was a couple of teenagers that were getting, you know.
Right, we understand how that works, but.
Right. I guess they were, you know, the stove turned on and it was one of those electric stoves with the coils.
And it just got real hot real fast.
Yep, and things got burned on that poor girl.
Oh, that's painful.
Dude, that is tough.
That hurts.
Ouch.
It was,
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Chad. Chad's a firefighter joining us on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Chad.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. Good morning. I got a call from a man. We didn't know what the call was for.
Dude, let me just butt in here. Do you know most of the time what the call is for before you go?
Most of the time, yes.
Okay.
This was just a medical call, and we got it, and he kind of turned around, and he had a cucumber stuck in his butt.
Okay.
All right. Now, how do you not burst out laughing immediately? You can't help it.
You know, if you really want to, sometimes you just kind of have to leave the room if you can't contain it.
Right.
But, you know, you try to use profession and just kind of ignore it.
That's why I couldn't do your job.
That's right.
I could not do your job. I would say, who's got a camera? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. But can't do that.
By Ethan, EMT line 7. Ethan, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd you see?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I went to a call, and it's a man. We get to his house, and he meets us at the door. He has his penis stuck in a glass bottle. It's just a regular 2-liter generic glass bottle.
Yes.
I don't think we need all of that for...
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, not that kind of description. I mean,
Wait, hold on a second.
Yes.
I do need to know about this.
But you can't ask a follow-up question, Venus.
No, he wasn't just masturbating. He was trying to save it somehow to use it for something?
Yeah, he was trying to sell it, actually.
Well, not in a Diet Coke 2-liter bottle. Come on.
Was there still Diet Coke in it?
Like a half a bottle? It was just a regular, like, 2-liter generic bottle. And I guess, anyway, so we're, like, transporting this guy. And I guess he got excited or whatever. And so, he got even more stuck.
Oh, man.
So he can't take the pain anymore, and he bashes the glass bottle on the bar, and shards of glass were all over him and on his...
Oh, my God. Way to make things worse.
Yeah, much, much worse.
What a moron.
Dude, was he high or something, or drunk?
No, he was totally coherent. He was fine. He was... I asked him if he was...
Well, he wasn't fine, let's be honest.
No, he wasn't.
You can't be in that condition and be fine.
And that man we now know today as Herman Cain. That's what's remarkable about this story. Wow, great story. Thank you so much for the call, Ethan. Appreciate that. Let's try... wow, we got so many good ones. Let's try... Robert, you hang on. I promise we're going to get to you, Robert. Let's try to Tim real quick. Tim's on line 3. Involves another doofus dude. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Kevin and Dean. Hey, Kelly.
Hi.
What happened?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, we had this call. This guy actually put his junk into a padlock, but it wasn't your ordinary padlock. It was the type of lock that has the U and the actual lock body comes off of the U.
Wait, why did he put it? I guess you can't answer that. Did he?
But the problem was he took the lock and he flipped it around so the keyway was up against his skin. So there was absolutely no possible way to pull that off.
Wow.
And to top it off, he had 2 lengths of a foot-long chain past each side of his lock.
My God.
Oh, my God. And so do you have to just cut that off?
Well, we actually ended up just cutting it off with a pair of bolt cutters.
And I would imagine that is so delicate because you're so close to, you know, potentially cutting his junk, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You really got to be careful.
Love it.
And he was like, he was probably in his mid-30s, and he was we pulled up. He's sitting out on the curb, covered up in a blanket. And
just
he's
waiting
like,
for you guys. Hey, how's it going, Hank? Good. You?
He's all, hey, don't tell my mom. So he was
my mom. He was mid-30s.
Hey, Tim, let me ask you this question. You can't you have excellent training as a paramedic, but you can't train for all of these situations. How do you even know how to handle something like this? You just wing it. You just make it up as you go. You can't be prepared for something like this.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, we're kind of like the catch-all. We kind of do it all. People call us for everything. If they get in this situation, the fire department's called, and we kind of figure it up. And yeah, exactly right. Sometimes we just kind of have to wing it.
Just use common sense.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's do one more, and let's make it our friend Robert. He's a paramedic joining us on line two here on the Kevin and Bean Show. This has been enlightening, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Scary. Hi, Robert.
Hey.
What happened? You're a paramedic.
Yeah. Make it quick and simple here. We ran a call where a guy decided to shove a two, maybe 3-pound saltwater fish up his rectum.
Oh, you never choose a saltwater fish. Everybody knows that.
Wait, a 3-pound fish?
I'm going to say about 2 to 3 pounds. It was rather large. The only problem is when he got it in, it was either the scales or the fins prevented it from pulled out.
Was I hate to ask, but was it alive?
You know,
at one point.
Actually, one of the guys on the engine thought that was the idea, that he put it in there originally alive.
Oh, yeah. No.
But it wasn't alive when we got there.
Yeah, I'm guessing not.
But you guys still cooked it and ate it, right?
Oh, Bean, come on. It's ridiculous. All right, don't encourage him.
Okay. All right. Anderson, we're done now. Let's just move on. It's embarrassing.
Sorry.
Okay.
Come on, Anderson. Robert, thank you for the call, though.
Thank you. All right, they cooked it and ate. All right. It wasn't that good. Okay.
Okay, all right. We got pit tickets you can win. Your choice of nights for this weekend's 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. We are looking for contestants right now who want to earn their tickets at 1-800-520-1067. We'll put you on hold, get a chance to play for them in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin
Should we tell them the band or no?
I don't think there's any... No, I'm saying I don't think there's any reason not to. If somebody is a 311 fan, you may have an advantage on a game like this one.
I think that's who we want. I think you want 311 fans.
1-800-520-1067. Call now. We'll play the game right after the top of the hour.
And by the way, no matter how many times I've seen 311, every time I'm impressed with how great they are on stage. They're so good live. It's unbelievable. It's so tight.
It is tight.
Yeah.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
They go to 11. They're one more than 310. They're 11. It's a little bit louder. I'm concerned about our future.
Why?
Because technology is taking over everything. And now we're starting to lose out on the important things in life.
Like?
Like smoking hot fashion models.
Are we losing out on them?
Yes.
What?
H&M Stores has confirmed that on their website, all the models you see... Their bodies have been digitally created.
Digitally created completely?
Yes.
What? Are they not real girls?
They are not real girls. They are computer-generated bodies.
What? And
they then paste on the clothes on top of that, and then paste on the heads of real models.
Oh, my God.
But the bodies themselves are completely fictional.
What?
That body you're lusting after on the H&M website wearing that scantily... clad underwear and the smoking tight dresses. Fake, sir. Fake.
That's so weird.
You have been duped.
So we're at the point now where our standards for beauty are so high that they are literally impossible for a real person to attain.
But you could Photoshop anything. Why create it from scratch?
Why have to Photoshop a flawed human when you can create this perfect model from scratch?
Because she's human?
Your penis is being lied to, but I'm telling you.
That is disturbing. I don't get that at all. There are plenty of hot chicks to put in advertisements.
Nothing more distracting than beer mug on the internet in front of my face. Nothing more distracting.
I know.
They do it for the men, too, by the way.
The men in there are also computer generated.
Yeah. They say they do this for all the garments, too, not just the underwear, but especially the underwear. So that's the worst. That's the worst of all when you're looking at the underwear and you go, yeah, give me some of that. And no, you can't have it. You know why? It's all pixels and bits and zeros and ones.
They're not even that great. I'm looking at them. I mean,
they're skinny.
Yeah. But you can't
only
find...
we had skinny women
right.
in real life.
Doesn't even make sense.
I know, but I'm just upset. Leave me be.
All right.
While we're talking about bodies, new movie in the works starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Mark Wahlberg. Heads up, ladies. It's all about bodybuilding.
Yeah.
A movie about bodybuilding. The Rock and Mark Wahlberg will play a couple of steroid-abusing bodybuilders from Florida, who get caught up in an extortion ring and a kidnapping scheme that goes terribly wrong. I'm guessing there'll be a lot of flexing and punching going on in this film. I'm not sure about looking forward to that, but what are you going to do?
I don't see a lot of The Rock's movies. I like him very much.
Yeah, he does kid stuff a lot, though.
But he sure seems, I mean, he rarely is in a flop, man. He does have some pretty good radar for what people want from him.
I beg to differ, sir. Did you see the Tooth Fairy? Did you see
his movies in general? He has a very successful box office record. That's what I'm telling you.
I bet the Tooth Fairy made money because of kids.
I bet you didn't. Really? I bet the Tooth Fairy was a financial disappointment.
Oh, well, you would know more than I would. I'll take your word for it.
I'm just saying.
Listen to Bean Type.
I know. I will find out, and then I will tell them right in the middle of everything. Right, I will not wait.
Under over. I'm going to say it made more than $50 million.
I thought it probably did, but I don't think it bested its budget. There was a lot of special effects and stuff. I remember it being a disappointment at the time. Maybe by now it's made some money. It was a couple years ago, but they were
not
happy with the box office when it was released.
All right.
Just saying. And singer John Rich of the duo Big and Rich, they're country singers.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
John Rich was thrown off a Southwest airline flight on Sunday because he was too loaded.
Love it.
Really?
Yeah. TMZ says he was already had a pretty good buzz on at 10:50 a.m. when he boarded the plane in Vegas, headed to Nashville. That's like a Kevin flight, 10:50 a.m. showing up drunk.
But 10 a.m. Imagine how much they have to deal with that in Vegas.
Yeah.
He was the one who was on Celebrity Apprentice. He seemed like, at least for the duration of that show, a pretty straight-up, solid guy.
Super stand-up, straight arrow.
Yeah, well, he wasn't standing up straight as an arrow at 10:50 a.m. He was slouched and stumbling. He got onto the plane and started arguing with some of the other passengers.
Love it.
Apparently, they were drinking out of a yellow Solo cup, and he would not stand for it. Country Fs.
That's not his song, but they all stand
together.
They're
all the same.
They all stand together.
They're all the same. Did you see that American Country Awards, whatever, was on the other night?
Of course not.
Oh, ugh.
Did you come across it? Shoot your TV?
Toby Keith closed the show, right, Ralph?
I don't know, but
with Red Solo Cup.
Did he really?
Yep.
Oh. Started fighting with other passengers on the plane before it even took off. Continued to be loud once he sat down. That's when the crew came over and said, we're going to have to ask you to leave, John Rich of Big and Rich. And he did. Southwest offered to rebook him on another flight after he sobered up, but he just took the refund and flew with another airline. Oh, I bet they were happy.
Yeah.
Kevin, what was your guess on how much money the Tooth Fairy made?
I said more than 50, but Ralph said that still may not be a success, so he's hedging his bets. Was I wrong about that?
No. Domestic box office, $58.6 million back in 2010 for the Tooth Fairy. Don't know what it cost.
Yes,
but,
that's the problem, and then you don't know.
I mean, I'm sure it was a terrible movie, though. I mean, I'm not saying he makes
for his entire run. For his entire run, $58 million.
Yeah.
Does that sound like a hit?
No.
I don't think it sounds like a money loser.
I don't know.
How much can the Tooth Fairy cost to
make? Okay, Bean, you're right. The Rock is always in hits, and he never does anything wrong.
Look, I was just saying the guy has a pretty good track record. All of his movies sound bad to me, yet he apparently knows his audience. That's the only thing I was saying.
Celebrity birthdays today. Peter Buck of R.E.M. is 55 years old today.
R.E.M. no longer exists, Ralph. They broke up.
I know, but that's where you know him from.
30 years ago when they mattered.
When they were still together. 55 years old today. Anybody else want to fact check me on anything else that I'm talking about today? Beer Mug, you got anything? Any problems with anything I've said so far?
We'll see. Keep going. Right. We'll see.
David Lovering of the Pixies.
Uh-huh.
Is he 50?
I doubt that.
I may be wrong. We'll have to look into that.
I'm saying above 50.
Let's do some research.
I'm going over.
Over-unders 50?
I'm taking the over.
All right. Ben Watt of Everything But the Girl is 49, and director Judd Apatow. He's also a writer, and he's also a performer. Started out as a stand-up comedian. That's how he knows all these funny people.
I believe all of that is true.
The 40-year-old virgin knocked up, of course, many of his films. He is 44 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Who is the greatest motorcycle builder in the world? Is it Jesse James from Monster Garage over here, or is it Junior and Senior Tuttle from the American Chopper Show?
Junior Senior, not Junior and.
Oh, that's right. That's
not
true.
Been and for a long time.
Yes, they are only technically family at this point. They don't actually talk. But they will on stage tonight, hosted by our own Mike Catherwood, believe it or not. Psycho Mike is going to be hosting that show from the Hard Rock in Las Vegas. That's part two of a special that started last night. And we'll talk to Jesse James himself all about it coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, how about some tickets? Your choice of nights this weekend for the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas in the pit. What's this game called?
This game is called String 11.
Good morning to you all, and welcome to another adventure in Kevin and Bean's String 11. Kevin and Bean will play for you samples of string quartet music featuring the music of 311. Simply identify the song, and you'll be eligible to win tickets to K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2011. Good luck.
Tickets now, in the pit.
Yeah, in the pit, right up close. 311 is playing night one, but you can go see that night if you want, or if you'd rather, you can go see night two. It's up to you. Who's our first contestant?
Our first contestant is Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
Aaron is a sales analyst.
Morning.
Are you a big 311 fan?
Yes, I am.
All right. We don't know why these string quartets exist, but they do, and they're funny, and so you tell us what 311 song this is.
I hardly understand that. Can you play it one more time?
I'm sorry. We can only play it once.
Okay.
You want to take a guess?
Gonna have to guess.
We'll go with Beautiful Disaster.
Amber is the color of your energy. Sorry, that was Amber. Sorry. Mm.
I don't know why it exists either, but it's terrible. Let's try Dave, line two, here on the Kevin DeMeade Show. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the show. You ready to win some tickets to Acoustic Christmas?
I sure am, homies.
All right, homie.
Dave is a probation officer. You're not calling for business, are you?
Not yet.
All right, here you go. Here you go. Here's your string quartet. All right, what song was that?
Down.
Yeah.
Nicely done. You hold on.
Okay. Now we're off and running. Well done. Thank you. Let's try Tiff. Tiff is on line three on the Kevin DeMeade Show.
Oh, hi.
Tiff. No time for any. Are you ready?
Yeah.
We are doing string 11. Good luck.
Is it Beautiful Disaster? Yeah. Some people
already saw. Yes,
I don't know. I hear, thank you, Tiffany. Hold on, you're in the drawing. I hear these string quartet versions, and it makes me just want to hear the 311 song.
Right.
Like, what's the point of hearing the cheap ripoff, right?
I think, like, every once in a while somebody will call in and they'll say, we work in an office, a lot of old people, they don't like 311 music. But if we could at least get away with this, at least it's a song we know. But still, I'm with Bean. It makes you want to hear it more.
All right, let's try Dane as our next contestant. Line four. Hi, Dane. Welcome to the Kevin DeMeade Show. How have you been doing listening on hold so far?
I've been doing all right. How about you guys?
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I don't think you heard the question.
We've been doing exceptionally well because we have the answers. Okay. Here's your song. Good luck.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's not quite as easy as some of the others, but...
But it's a big K-Rock hit from 311. You've heard the song a million times, I'll tell you that.
Not like that.
You want to take a guess? Or you can not say anything and not win at all.
All right. Good.
Yeah,
good work. Can't come up with a single song.
That was All Mixed Up, I believe, is what this song was called there. All right. How about Hector, line five? Hector, playing string 11, your choice of nights in the pit for Acoustic Christmas. You ready to hear yours?
Ready for it, guys.
There you go.
Sunset in July.
Got to come original. Sorry.
Come original. Nice guess, though. Hey, at least you came up with one. All right, we got time for one more. Let's make it Andrea. Andrea joins us on the Kevin DeMeade Show. Andrea, good luck to you.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, you ready?
Yep. God. Is that Sunset in July?
Sorry.
Transistor is what we're looking for. Nice try, though, Andrea. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Dave or Tiffany? Lisa, who gets the golden ticket?
Our winner is Dave.
Dave! Congratulations, Yay! Dave. Our probation officer will be in the pit. Off duty?
Yes.
Are you there, Dave?
Yes, I am.
Night one or two?
Night one.
Thank you for playing String 311.
That has been String 11 with Kevin and Bean. Ah, the sounds of cat.
A lot of good stuff coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Not just Jesse James in a few minutes, but later in the week, Adam Carolla is going to be joining us. Also, Matt Money Smith will talk about the new NBA season. The schedule finally has been released. We're trying to get a hold of Donald Glover from Community, Howie Mandel on the show, Dr. Drew, Cousin Sal will talk football for the weekend. And you'll be excited, Kevin. Apparently, we're talking to Bones Jones tomorrow.
Love it.
Yeah, UFC 140.
That guy's
right
unbelievable.
So, a lot of good stuff still to come. Right now, your Afro calls are on the air, 323-520-AFRO. That is our voicemail. You call us 24 hours a day. About 90% of the calls we get are from people when they're drunk, but sometimes that's okay.
Oh, my gosh, it's windy!
He's very upset by the wind.
He is.
Omar is going to be a dad, and that has all of us shaking in our boots. It's just, look.
It's why there should be rules.
Correct. This guy is with us.
You know, Omar, I really wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt and say you actually might be a good father. I actually tried one of your tactics last night. 3:48 in the morning, my three-week-old is up screaming and crying. I go to check him. He's not hot. He's not cold. He's not hungry. He's not dirty diaper or anything like that. So I go, you know what? Maybe Omar's got the key. So I take my baby. I bring his ear to my mouth, and I gingerly whisper, "Stop crying!" Yeah, made it worse. Made it a hell of a lot more worse, Omar. Your kid's not even born yet, and you're already the worst father in the world.
I don't know. Is that Omar's plan? Is just to scream at his child?
Well, I think that's all he knows.
Yep.
But I see.
But I think this guy, not being Omar, but trying that approach, is the worst dad in the world. Like, deal with that. Here's somebody that we all recognize.
Hey, guys, it's Beer Mug. And just been thinking, dude, you know, like, the whole sensitive beer mug thing, I think I've you know, learned to not let it get to me. Yeah, I'll roll with it, you know?
Hey, beer mug, shut the f*** up! Nobody wants to hear from you!
Well, come on, man. It's just a persona. My name's Jonathan.
I don't know that we need you doing comedy. In quotes.
In quotes.
Beer mug, you f***ing asshole. This Jonathan persona. Whatever the f*** you are. Man, you can suck my go to hell. Hate your guts, man. You little bitch. Have a nice day.
Wow. So people hate the beer mug persona, but they also hate the real Jonathan who's not being beer mug.
Correct.
They hate both. Okay.
Every year when it's the anniversary, I guess, of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yes. November 10th, 1975. Yes. Right. What about it?
Just passed. This guy loves it when you talk about that.
Well, being upset, Kevin, recounting this tale, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. The only regret is that Bean was not lost on the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, because he's an asshole.
Yeah. How dare you?
Well done.
I'm with him.
He set me up. I thought he was on my side.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Lisa, May. I just realized something. Have you guys ever watched Two Girls in a Cup?
Yes.
I just realized something about my ears. They're the cup, and you are the girls f***ing in my ear.
Wow.
God
Well, if that's happening, he has a valid complaint.
Yes, he does.
Fred Solo, stop playing that effing song, guys. Damn, it sucks.
Sounds like a request to me.
We're getting a lot of emails from people who say they hear that song one time, it gets stuck in their head, and sometimes it's there rattling around for days, and just when they finally have forgotten it and moved on, we play it again.
The Red Solo Cup song sucks, and a time like this, I don't understand how you could ever play that song and not instead play Fruitcake. If you're playing songs based on Afroline calls, it should be Fruitcake from here until the end of the year. And I know this is an opportunity for you guys to really screw me because I'm calling and saying I hate Red Solo Cup.
Sometimes we're reading between the lines and people call and say they hate a song, but they're really asking for it.
They just don't know how.
I really want to hear Fruitcake, but I know my man Bean is going to come through for me. Hit it, Steve.
You know what it's like? It's like, whatever you do, don't give me any more chocolate. Because seriously, I don't want any more chocolate. I can't eat any more chocolate. And really, all you really want is chocolate. You just don't want to say it out loud.
So does that guy want Red Solo Cup or does he want Fruitcake?
Solo Cup, right?
Well, he's not going to get either. He's going to get Santa Claus in a helicopter.
Santa Claus on a helicopter. Santa Claus.
Makes my ears bleed.
I'm so happy it's time for Wing again.
Santa Claus, he visits us today. December 24th. Wow, it's coming.
right now in an helicopter.
This is Wing. She's very concerned that kids aren't going to believe that Santa could make it to all the homes in one night. So she's adding a helicopter to it. Not a jet fighter or something that flies fast, but a helicopter. So this is going to explain it all to the kids.
Not a traditional sleigh cart. He lands in the farmyard.
He lands in the barnyard?
Nursery.
Of the nursery.
Of the baby's kind for moms. He feeds them well.
He feeds them.
That's not what she said. That's not what she said at all. That is inappropriate.
Santa lands on the lawn of the nursery. The kids are crying because they're hungry. What do you think? He feeds them.
Baby's kind for moms. He feeds them well if they are hungry.
He's feeding.
Then he returns to the helicopter and
Jesse James, America's most notorious outlaw. Raised on the streets of Long Beach, he forged a career out of iron and fire to become the world's most recognizable gearhead. You know him as the star of his own TV show and the head of the motorcycle empire, West Coast Choppers.
Or you used to.
Or you exactly
that,
used to.
Okay, that's a little outdated. That's a tiny bit outdated. I apologize, Jesse.
That's like, oh, Jesus.
way to get us started on the wrong foot there, Kevin. Nice job.
Oops.
Yeah, you guys don't know right at this moment how much I love you guys.
All right, listen, Jesse James on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk about the American Chopper Live, the build-off, which airs tonight on the Discovery Channel at 9 or 6, depending on whether you're cable or satellite. Part one was last night. Now, Jesse, we haven't seen you doing much with bikes in a while. It seems like you've kind of moved away from that, or at least it hasn't been on television. Is this kind of a return to your passion for you a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. Kind of doing what I was meant to be doing. You know, I moved to Texas like a year ago, and like, I don't know, just kind of was, I was making a gate for the front of my house.
Really? But you were into making cars?
Yeah, I still have Austin Speed Shop and run that on a daily basis, but I didn't really have anything to, like, point all my skills at. And, you know, it's not like I really wanted to be on American Chopper. I just kind of wanted to, like, build a bike and show those guys how it's done. And, you know, I just needed something to, like, I don't know, I felt like I was kind of doubting myself, I think, skill-wise. Like, I didn't, because I had the whole power of West Coast Choppers behind me. And,
right.
Like, that's all gone, and could I build a bike and, you know, on my own.
Is this also a way of putting all the personal issues and crap behind you and just moving on into maybe you're going to start doing bikes again, or?
I think so. I think just getting back to working, you know, it's like I feel like I haven't worked in like 7 years, you know, and like passionately did what I did, you know, and I think as big as the shop got and business and Walmart and all this stuff, and you know, the less I was allowed to work
right.
with my hands. And right. so, like, right. now I eliminate all that. My shop's at my house. And
sweet.
Now I can actually work more. I live, like, 25 seconds from home. And, you know, it's, like, me and my three kids down there, and it's just, it's awesome. It felt good. I mean, the bike I built, you know, win or lose, like, I love it.
I got to tell you, your bike is amazing looking. I watched it last night. You make no secret of the fact that you're not big fans of the tunnels. How did this all come about? Did they come to you and say we want to do a competition, or how did it start?
We talked about it like 8 years ago, like in the middle of Monster Garage. You know, everybody, we talked about doing like a build-off, and those, you know, they wouldn't do it, or, you know, for one reason or another, it just never happened. And then, like, I was in, like, a meeting, like, 8 months ago at Discovery headquarters in Maryland, and I brought it up, and, you know, upper management at Discovery just, like, flipped out, yeah, let's do it. And then I was like, I don't know if I really want to.
Like, they were too excited.
It was, like, kind of more fun just to throw it out there to get a reaction. And then the more I started to think about it, I was like, all right, let's do it. You know, it's like, everybody, there's so many people, that show's been pretty popular, but there's an equal amount of people that can't stand it
yeah.
and can't stand those dudes, and I've always been pretty vocal about them, like, you know, And so I guess it's time to, you know, put my skills where my mouth is. You know, I can only talk so much.
By the way, those dudes can't stand those dudes. I mean, you got senior won't talk to junior, and they're doing, they got their own teams. They haven't talked for what seems like a couple of years. How long did it take to get them both on board?
It took one Jedi mind trick phone call to get junior on board. Pretty much into it from the start. And then I called and, like, basically nonchalantly called Junior a pussy on the phone.
Sweet. I'm sorry, nonchalantly?
Yeah. Like, I just told him, I go, yeah. He's all, oh, I'm so busy, and I'm building a bike for Dubai and all this stuff and all these big shot things. And I'm like, yeah, it just sounds like you're scared. I'll let you go.
This is the voice of our friend Jesse James here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're talking about the American Chopper Live, the build-off on the Discovery Channel tonight. What is – you mentioned a lot of people can't stand the Tuttles, even though American Chopper has been a very successful show. And you, in particular, don't seem impressed by either senior or junior. What is your problem with the way they run their business, Jesse?
Well, I'm like a motorcycle guy. I like to build bikes and ride like an idiot and build like functional stuff, like functional art that's like, it's beautiful and you can ride it. And like, those guys are only kind of exist because of me. You know, I was offered that show first, and if the best thing that ever happened to them is me not renewing my contract with Discovery like 6 years ago.
And that's when they got their chance.
Yeah, and, you know, there you go.
Yeah, and you made it sound last night on the show when I was watching you were making your bike. You made it sound like one of your biggest complaints is that they make little show bikes. It'll go around the block, but they can't. It's not really a permanent riding, you know.
I mean, not to backpedal, but, you know, they do have some skilled guys working for them. But, you know, they've just been kind of whiffing their own fumes for so long. And I've been, you know, my opinion isn't based on, like, a mass appeal opinion. My opinion's based on the motorcycle industry and how their place in the motorcycle industry and where I belong in the motorcycle industry. That's where my opinion's based on, you know, and it's an industry that I've been in since like 1989, you know, since I was building bikes out of my mom's garage in Cerritos.
Right. You know? Now the finale is tonight and they're going to pick a winner. Who picks the winner?
People can go on Discovery and vote. You know, go to chopperlive.com and they can click the vote all day today. They, you know, watched the show last night and they can still go all day today and pick a winner. So you should go there and vote for me.
And absolutely. And then tonight is live, if I'm not mistaken, from the Hard Rock Hotel in Las Vegas. And all three of you are going to be together.
You know what I get if I win?
What?
Nothing.
You get nothing?
Really?
Yep.
You just show them up on their own show?
I guess. Well, it is kind of funny, like, to kind of go into their show and talk a whole bunch of smack against them, like, and they're like, you know, I don't know.
Now, all three of you are going to be on the same stage at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Speaking of talking smack, Kevin, do you have that clip from last night's show of Jesse talking about the Tuttles? Because I think this is hilarious. And when you listen to Jesse talk here, you're going to think he doesn't know he's being filmed for television.
I'm pretty confident in one thing, that our bike's going to be the meanest out of all three. We may not win, you know, popularity. People like those dudes and they like stupid, gaudy, but my going to be mean. You know, looks like Satan would be riding it. And if that loses and we don't win, who cares? Because I guarantee, like, out of all the bikes, I'd rather be riding mine.
Dude, what if it's not true? What if you go, hey, that there's this cool. I want one of those.
My voice sounds funny. I sound like... I sound like Jeff Spicoli, who drank a lot of Robitussin or something.
That's what you've always sounded like, Jesse. I got news for you.
Really? Is it really that bad?
Sort of.
It's not that bad. It's just what you sound like. But, all right, let me ask you one more thing, Jesse. Let me ask you this, because I was flying last night, so I wasn't able to watch the whole show, but I caught the end of it when you unveiled the bike and, you know, you made it from scratch and you brought it down off the platform and you put it down on the shop floor and you revved it up. Explain to me the feeling you get when you start up a new bike for the first time and what that sounds like to your ears when you've built it from scratch.
Man, it's just like, it gives me, like, dude, like, seriously, I got goosebumps right now thinking about it. You know, it's like just like such a rad feeling, you know, and it's like I'm unique to it. You know, if you have a bike built or like those guys buy a bunch of stuff or have a bunch of other people do it.
They start with the frames or whatever?
Yeah, and other parts and you know, there's a lot of boxes that show up and parts come out of it, you
right.
know, but I have the unique feeling that, like, to fire something up that I made with my hands that I created in my head and didn't exist, you know, a few weeks before that, and then to get on it and ride it and, like, do, like, 100 and then, like, let go of the handlebars and, like, fold my arms across my legs and kind of lean forward, and you're just coasting, and the thing's just, like, whizzing along, like, straight as a pin, and, like, you made that. You did all the math, you know, yeah. did all the sweat and cut fingers and everything else and made that. So it's like you made, like, the ultimate toy, you know. It's like making an awesome remote control car by hand.
I know? Will yeah. never understand that feeling. I wish I would, but I have no talent.
Well, the passion definitely comes through. You can vote for Jesse at chopperlive.com. The winner is revealed tonight live on stage at the Hard Rock Hotel in Las Vegas with our good friend Psycho Mike Catherwood hosting, trying to keep the Tuttles and Jesse James from fighting with one another or each other. Also, Bush is going to be performing on the show tonight. Jesse, we got our fingers crossed for you, man. It's always great to catch up with you on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Psycho Mike's all fancy. He had some of those pants on yesterday at rehearsal with, like, the flaps over the back pocket.
Dude, he always wears those.
Dude, with, like, little designs.
Please,
like, $100 pants.
Please make fun of his pants on TV. Please.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Jesse. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Bye, Lisa May.
Bye.
Oh, remember when that band used to make music?
Oh, it was so good when they used to play together, record music, and
put
it down.
That's a fictional. That's
tape.
Like the Banana Splits or the Archies or something. Come on, Ralph.
No,
that's not a real band.
Boy to the world.
Seriously, guys.
They've been
get
promising.
To it.
This is their Chinese Democracy. This
Come
is their
on.
Dr. Dre album.
No, we're
called.
Together. We're working hard. What are you? Are you just? Are you graving the music onto stone with chisels and hammers?
Finish it. Finish.
It did sound great to hear them again coming out of the speakers. Right.
Correct.
It was fun to listen to. No doubt. I think we'd like to do that again with new music.
Yes.
We're just saying you're going to have to set an end date and stick to it.
Yes. Exactly.
Look, you're never, you know, a work of art is never over.
Right.
But at some point, it has to be. At some point, you have to put it out, right?
At some point, you just have to let it go.
Right. Hey, coming up after the top of the hour, we're going to talk about Larry King, who we love, because now he wants to have his head frozen and be brought back to life in the future when they find what kills him. And
future, you're on the line.
He revealed that in a new CNN special that I can't wait to talk about. Coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Bean on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Why is Sci-Fi the greatest network in the world?
Well, you're a sci-fi geek.
Well, first of all,
so you got that going.
Sharktopus. That's all you need to know. If that was the only thing they ever produced, if that's all they showed 24 hours a day, it would still be one of the greatest networks in the world.
I like Alphas.
I don't know if this is the greatest network in the world.
I miss Alphas so much. Alphas was so good that first season. That was good. But I don't know if it's the greatest network in the world.
It's the greatest network in the world.
Okay, all right.
And now they're just cementing their position with this press release.
Okay.
They have just announced their new 2012 creature feature.
Love it. Already.
Jersey Shore Shark Attack.
What?
This is a mob movie / Jersey Shore parody combined with vicious shark attacks off the Jersey Shore.
No! I believe this is going to suck ass.
You are insane. Listen to the cast.
All right.
Tony Sirico, who played Paulie Walnuts on The Sopranos.
Yes.
Hey, Tony. Remember him, the guy with the hair?
Oh, yeah.
Paul Sorvino, who played Paulie Cicero in the Goodfellas movie. Jack Scalia. Joey Fatone. William Atherton from Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Yes.
It's true, the man has no... And Vinny from the Jersey Shore.
Oh, my man.
Come on!
Who's directing this mess?
It does not say here, but it doesn't matter because it's going to be awesome.
And by awesome, you mean unwatchable.
I mean awesome. What? How can you not get behind this?
I don't know if it's
don't
bad
you
enough.
Get it?
It doesn't sound like it's going to be
You're
bad.
You're not getting it.
I might not be.
Apparently, it all unfolds during a 4th of July weekend at the Jersey Shore, where a rare swarm of shark breed are released due to some illegal underwater drilling. Now the angry sharks are on a rampage, devouring residents. Come on!
Now, can you get in that, Ralph?
I maybe too late. I don't know. But
I mean, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, close enough to the Jersey Shore. You could probably fake it, right?
I used to spend every summer at the Jersey Shore.
There you go.
Back in my youth.
What worked for you last time was coming up with the catchphrase. I think that's what got you in the last one. You need a catchphrase.
Damn you, Sharktopus.
Yeah.
I have to dummy up my own auditioning and come up with a new line?
A catchphrase for this one.
All right, I'm going to put some work together.
You'll
so
be
I can come up with. Damn you, Jersey Shore Sharks!
Too derivative. Quite have the same. Yeah, too derivative? I don't think
not
so.
Quite. All right, I'll get to work on it. We'll see. In other, perhaps better movie news, Kevin will be very excited. Bradley Cooper has confirmed rumors that there will be indeed a Hangover 3.
That's what I'm talking about.
Kevin, you guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner.
Yeah. Lone wolf.
If I loved the Hangover movies, I would be very upset by this news.
Why?
I would be, why poison the well? Why dilute the magic? Why screw with the franchise? Let it be. That's what I would be.
Because 2 didn't do that. 2 wasn't as good as 1, but nothing could have been.
Well, then
but
you're just going to get more diminishing returns. There's no
right.
way 3 can be
but
as good
two
as 2.
Was 5. I've watched 2 now, I don't know, 6-7 times.
But didn't you find it a little derivative
yes,
of 1?
Of course.
Well, then why do you want to go back?
Because it's the same people. It's Zach
just
Galifianakis.
Just watch the first 2 if you I like them. Watch, just watch them again.
I could watch Zach Galifianakis in anything. He's going to make it great. It's the same director. It's the same cast. Come on.
But it's like you read a book and then you Xerox that book and read that. And then you Xerox it again and read that. I don't get what the point is. It's every time, every experience is going to be lesser than the one before.
Not for me.
That's true. Not for Kevin. God, it must be good to be you. Just so easy. Just drifting through life. Just taking whatever life throws at you. And just, oh, I like it. Oh, just, oh, it's opposite weekend. Oh, just cruising through life.
What a unique concept. Talking about a hangover. That's what I'm going to think when I'm watching.
Those guys don't remember anything that happened for the past 24 hours.
How will they find out? Can't wait.
And Bean, I don't know if you heard about this story up in your neck of the woods. It's probably big news. They are turning 2.5 acres of Seattle into Jimi Hendrix Park.
Yay, what a great park.
Jimmy would have turned 70 in 2012. Mm-hmm. So they are setting aside a portion of public land there to open a park in his honor. The park will be shaped like a giant guitar.
Well, sure.
And have a bridge that is a giant fretboard.
Really?
Will also be a performance area, a sound garden, and a green space for you to get in touch with your inner Jimmy.
I mean, okay, I guess.
Dumb.
Not that excited about it.
As a tribute to Hendrix, there will also be many heroin dealers in the park. So. Everybody's got something there at Hendrix Park.
It's legal only in the park.
That's right.
I've been out to his grave, of course.
Of course.
Times.
Of course.
And,
of course.
And,
we all
and have. That's a nice, that's a good
it is sure. a great time.
It is
a good
fun.
Time. I like to go there and just commune with death.
It's in a cemetery, so I was there anyway.
Yeah, so sure. good.
Oh, you just laugh. Till you think your
being
stomach
just
hurts.
Rubbing up against headstones. Just bring an Astroglide and just bringing a... David Lovering of the Pixies is 50 years old today. Guitarist Ben Watt of Everything But the Girl is 49. And Judd Apatow, who's given us such... hilarious films as 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up. He is 44 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 938.
Dr. Moe put some images in my mind I would have preferred to leave outside of my mind. I'm just saying.
I'd like to put this there.
that helps a lot.
Because that way when I go to the ER... It's fun for everybody.
Oh, you want to put that there. Oh,
yeah.
I see. Yeah, it is fun for everybody.
So I'm going to show up with this. Inside me.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then I'm going to the ER and say, oh, doc, yeah, I'm sorry. I got a problem. Can you help me out? And they say, sure, just bend over. And I'll go.
Yeah!
He'll be trying to get it out. And be like, everybody in the ER will just have a rollicking good time. That's what I'm saying.
I agree.
Great idea.
A lot of laughs.
You going to do that today?
And he say, are you dating a clown? And I'll say, yes, I am.
Love it. I just keep thinking about the light bulbs, and it's very disturbing. All right, Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean show. What are you talking about?
And you still defending Pluto as a planet. That was a fascinating conversation.
Move on.
The real show happens here off air.
It doesn't.
It really does.
No,
it
and does. That's why we're doing Thanks at Info Bean tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Because I've had it. I'm not going to put up with it anymore.
Yes, you are. That's the thing. You have had it.
I'll
but
fight
you,
all of you.
You will put up with it.
That's true.
Kevin's not going to be happy until he fights somebody.
For many, many years. I can't get over it. I can't get over Jersey Shore shark attack. I just keep reading the story over and over again, just smiling. Sci-Fi has announced their latest creature feature. It's going to happen in 2012. It's called Jersey Shore Shark Attack. Why did they wait so long? That's what I want to know. It's like a mob movie crossed with Jersey Shore crossed with shark attacks. That's all I needed to know. The cast is Tony Sirico, who played Paulie Walnuts on The Sopranos, Paul Sorvino, who played Paulie Cicero in the Goodfellas movie, Jack Scalia, Joey Fatone, William Atherton. Vinny from the Jersey Shore. They're doing illegal drilling off the Jersey Shore, and that unleashes a rampaging swarm of freak sharks.
That's a terrible idea.
Who just keep eating everybody.
Yep.
They got a lot of emails support.
That's a terrible idea.
One guy wrote that. Sharks are here! Which made me laugh out loud. That's what Paulie always says when the cabs show up on Jersey Shore. Sharks are here! Yeah, I'm all about that. Yeah, I support this project wholeheartedly.
You got to be in it, Ralph, right? You love the Sci-Fi Channel. They love you.
I do. I don't know if they'll have me. I don't know if they'll have me.
I'd like to suggest you don't want to be in it.
I want to be in it. Hmm. Look at my jacket. Look at my jacket. Am I ready for Jersey Shore Shark Attack or
you
what?
You are. That's true.
Bobby could be in it. We can bring back Bobby.
It's Bobby!
I could be the drunken Jersey Shore bar fly. Who
like
stumbles drunkenly off the end of a pier into a shark's mouth.
And then you're the first one that just gets demolished.
That's right.
I like it.
I say, sharks are here!
Then it eats you and then it spits your jacket back up.
No, it doesn't because
on the sand.
The jacket's most delicious part of me. While we're talking about fashions, H&M stores have, they've harshed our mellow.
This is a weird story. Why did they admit it?
Somehow the story got out.
Oh.
And a Swedish tabloid, glad to see the Swedes are on top of this kind of thing, they approached H&M and said, is it true, sir, that all of the bodies of the models on your website are digitally created?
This is for all the fat girls!
That they are not, in fact, real human bodies. They are computer-generated bodies.
So they're not real bodies that are Photoshopped?
No!
They're not real bodies at all.
No, they're created in a lab. It's like Frankenstein.
But the head is the head of a model.
Yeah, what they do is they come up with a perfect body for their clothing. Then they paste the clothing on top of that image. And then they will take a real-life model head and attach that to the digital body.
These girls, man, they're getting on my neck.
They do it mostly for underwear and swimsuits.
That's a terrible idea.
But they claim they also do it for all garments, and even the men's bodies have been manufactured in some creepy lab somewhere in the basement of H&M stores.
Honestly, don't understand that.
I don't either, but I don't like it.
I don't either.
Because I still like to peruse the women's underwear section of catalogs and websites, you know what I'm saying?
You have to skip out on H&M, dude.
Yeah.
I know you guys will figure out a way to turn this into me being creepy, but I think it makes a difference knowing that the person is real. I mean, I was just thinking about who's that hot chick in the pink dress on the T-Mobile commercials? You know how adorable she is, right? If you found out that person doesn't exist, there's no actress playing that role, that she's just computer generated, would that kind of take some of the fun out of those commercials?
Yeah.
That's kind of, I mean, that's kind of how I feel about the story that Ralph's doing. It's weird. What's, I mean, you make underwear for people to wear, put people in it.
No.
I mean, how did they ever even come up with it? It doesn't make sense.
We have to live in a completely synthetic, fantasized world of sexuality now. Real people aren't allowed to be visualized in our media. We have to pretend everyone is a size zero.
Right, everyone has to be perfect. There's no real person who can live up to our impossible ideals of what they need to look like to be in a magazine.
She's got fake boobs, fake lips,
that's right,
fake nose, fake cheekbones. She's fake.
And by the way,
my name is Lightning, and girls are icky.
And by the way, I've seen the pictures that they're talking about, and they're not particularly great. I mean, they're not doing something that doesn't exist.
Right.
It's not a better female body than...
Right.
It's just...
I would have taken any one of our Miss Double December competitors this year and put them in the underwear in the catalog, and I'd be a lot happier.
In a second.
But then I guess they're not really trying to sell underwear, women's underwear to me, are they?
No.
Because they never have my size. I've looked. I go down there to Victoria's Secret, and they just scoff at me.
Do they sell underwear to robots, H&M? Is that their idea?
Do they sell
their
black leather underwear for you?
Yeah, they do. While we're talking about boobs and bodies and stuff like that, they're Demi Lovato. Was busted in Dallas, Texas, the end of last month. She apparently was on stage performing when she had a wardrobe malfunction. The plunging neckline on her dress plunged a little too plungy. And next thing you know, out came the girls looking to play.
Well, sometimes they need air, you know? Need to breathe.
And I couldn't find a photo of this anywhere.
What?
Come on, Dallas.
It was at a concert?
Yeah.
So... Where... Where probably 5,000, 6,000
Somebody's got a video
people.
someplace, right?
Come on.
Come on, Dallas. A little less with the president killing and more with the boob shots.
I don't think you can still hold that against
I do. I hold it against
That's
him.
That's a good 19, what is it, 62, 63?
63.
That's a good reference.
But, well, when was the last time another president was killed, Kevin?
Well, I don't know that you have to go with presidents.
I'm saying Dallas is a bad town.
I agree. I'm with you.
They killed our president. We just let him get away with it.
And they have the Cowboys. They have that.
If I'd been LBJ, I would have just nuked them right off the grid.
Entire state?
That's right.
You would have bombed your own country because of something one guy did?
No, because Dallas was complicit. They turned the other cheek. They looked the other way.
They all knew?
Oh, there's a guy going in the book depository over there. Oh, never mind. I'm going to look over here.
They all knew. They were all in on it.
Okay. Why don't you open up a blog, man? Read it. The facts are out there. Why is there belching?
Why is there belching? I don't even understand.
Why are we playing lightning drops? Why are there belching? Is this a year-end clearance sale? Are you trying to get rid of all your audio?
Why did you have left over?
Because first of all, the lightning was because he said girls are icky. Okay. That's what we were talking about. Okay, right. That one made sense. Right. That's LBJ burping. Remember we had that whole tape about him on the phone with Taylor?
Timeout.
Yes.
Are you defending yourself by saying that's LBJ burping?
Yes, I am.
That's a reason why you would hold on to that piece of audio?
You brought up LBJ.
President right. Johnson.
How in the world would anyone listening to this segment say, oh, that's funny because he just played LBJ's burp right there? How is someone supposed to make that leap to make that comedy bit germane to the conversation? Tell me.
So, leave me. You never do have much margin there. Let's see if you can't leave me about an inch from where the zipper is. Ends round under my back to my bunghole.
Come on, the president's talking about his bunghole.
There's no way to know that's the president. That's my point. There's no way to identify immediately. Oh, I can tell that's the dulcet tones of Lyndon Baines Johnson there.
Just it made sense in my head because you were talking about President Johnson.
How about you get out of your head once in a while and think about the people listening to the program?
Now, another thing, the crotch down where your nuts hang is always a little too tight.
Come on.
Kids, you're both just awful.
I'm just going to birthdays in protest. I'm just leaving the show now.
Come on now.
Guitarist Peter Buck, formerly of REM, 55 years old today. Drummer David Lovering of the Pixies turns 50. Ben Watt, guitarist for Everything But the Girl, 49 years old, and director Judge Apatow, who's given us 4-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, many other hilarious comedy projects. He is 44 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I'm not LBJ, and I walk the show bespeak.
Got any of those birthdays, people burping? Got any of that?
Nope, sorry, I don't.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have Scott Weiland on the program. He's got a new Christmas CD coming out.
What?
How excited is Bean? We have a brand new Thanks on Info Bean. We have Matt Money Smith talking about the NBA. We have a brand new Internet Roundup. We have Adam Carolla this week in ring.
Yeah.
We have John Bones Jones.
Yeah.
UFC light heavyweight champion of the world.
He's dead, Jim.
No, not Bones. Not that guy.
Oh,
it's a
sorry.
Fighter. Yeah, UFC.
I'll be back in sick bay.
And pit tickets for the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. All to